pizza.
So I'm really happy you're in studio, Tyler, because we've talked on the phone quite a bit.
We have.
And it's really great to see you here and to go over what it's about. Because, Colette, one thing when I was doing a little research about you and finding out more about you, I was really impressed how long Colette Travels been around. You've been around for a long time.
Yeah, we were actually founded in 1918, so this is a special year for us, being our centennial anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah, thank you. You look so young.
I do,
he
right?
He looks like a baby.
He does.
Yeah.
Travel keeps you young.
It does. What's the background and the history of Colette Travel?
So it started out as actually a travel agency, family-owned and operated, and in the early 60s, the owner, Jack Sullivan, sold it to his partner, Mr. Colette. And they wanted to keep it a family-owned business, and so now it's in the third generation of the Sullivan family, 100 years in the industry, and you know they have moved into about 170 trips to all seven continents. So starting out as a smaller travel agency, doing more regional stuff.
Based in where?
Rhode Island.
Oh, in Rhode Island.
Yeah, the very first trip was a 21-day trip, 7 days down to Florida, 7 days in Florida, 7 days back.
By boat?
By motor coach.
Motor coach.
Yeah. 21 days, $60.
Wow. Wow. 21 days, $60. What a deal. My gosh. And you do high-quality tours. You got a great reputation of doing four-star or more hotels. And you include usually include breakfasts, right? You make a point of trying to get some food in there.
Yeah, we're known for being the most inclusive tour operator. So we really try to be that value when you travel. You're getting more meals, more sightseeing, better hotels, more nights at those hotels. So the two things we've really strived for are more inclusive and better pacing. So that way you can really enjoy the destination. And I like to talk about it as experiencing it, not just seeing it.
Well, you know, I think that's very, very important to me. I mean, I hate having to feel like you get into the town, you can't usually get into your room till at least 2 or 3 o'clock, and then you're there for what? You know, a few hours, and you maybe go to do something, dinner, and then going out again the next morning is crazy, you know? So having a little bit of time really actually kind of duplicates what you try to do as an independent traveler, right?
Well, that's exactly it. We actually try to mimic the traveler's preferences into our program so that way it appeals to a wider range of travelers. So we have half the number of one-night stays and on average about 3 less hotel changes per tour. Good. By not moving around as much, you're able to actually do more in the cities and enjoy them.
Yeah. And I mean, we're going to go into some of the places. I know you seem to be enjoying working, Kathy, with Colette. What are the ones people seem to want the most? What are the most popular trips?
Italy. He was in the office earlier today, and I think that's Italy.
Yeah, we talked about the three I's. Italy, Ireland, Iceland.
Iceland, right. Yeah. I'm going to do Ireland a Facebook Live on this
thing.
Oh,
good, okay. Good. Well, Ireland is, you know, I have a passion for Ireland, and I really, really, really want to go back. We talked on a show a couple weeks ago, we spent the whole hour talking about Ireland. Maybe it was even last week, wasn't it? It was, I think, with the Mike from Mulligan's.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Putting a group together, right?
Yeah, I would love to do Ireland again. And I only went once, but I felt like I have to go back. And there are places like that. And I think partly Maui is like that. And people come and go, gosh, it was so great, I want to come back. And that shows you it's something that is, something's right with the place when you want to go and come back. And Ireland, of course, has lots of reasons why people want to come back, because it's safe, it's beautiful, it's got a lot of interesting things to see, you know, and it's got the history, and the prices are right, right?
That's exactly it. It's one of the best valued countries you can get to in Europe. The one thing you left out was the people there. The people in Ireland are amazing.
Yes, you are so right. And the music.
The music. The food is much better than most people think. They don't boil everything anymore.
They don't.
The castles, the history, the scenery. Ireland really has something for everyone.
And, of course, Portugal is becoming extremely popular, too, but that's not an I.
Yeah. It's more catchy.
But Italy's kind of at the point where everyone is, I mean, there's so much news about Italy kind of being overcrowded, and now maybe people are thinking Italy might be, you know, too overcrowded. I think it's called, it's not overpopulated, over-touristed. Is that the term that people are saying that we're hearing a lot about sometimes? And in Italy, you've got that happening with Venice and Cinque Terre. And some places get so crowded that everyone's saying, don't go in the summer. If you're going to go, you have to go off-season, maybe November, to try to avoid the crowds. Because when you go to a place that's beautiful like that, you don't want to stand in a crowd with 500 people, you know, in a place like St. Mark's Square or in lines with where you wait an hour or whatever. It just kind of it takes away that special experience when you're in a crowd of people.
It really does. We always recommend shoulder seasons. Yes. They are definitely the most popular time to go. The other thing we've been trying to do on our programs is make them unique and really have those wow moments. Anybody could go see Rome, Florence, Venice. Mm-hmm. You could travel on cruising. You can go on your own. When you go on a guided tour, especially when you go on a guided tour with Colette, we try to showcase these areas through different perspectives and really get you off the beaten path and showcase regions through hands-on experiences, cooking classes, wine tastings, all sorts of other family-run experiences, so that way you get all different perspectives on these regions.
Well, that's also very, very, very important. And I think cruise ships now are beginning to follow that pattern. And if you're just tuning in on Facebook Live, we're talking to Tyler with Colette Travel.
Hi,
and Kathy Taguchi's there doing Facebook Live. I guess on your Facebook site, right? Kathy
Taguchi, Captivating Journeys. Facebook page.
And what is really important is we have seasoned travelers, and what shocks me is they say this year is going to be one of the busiest years for travel. Is that true? Have you been seeing more and more people booking trips?
Oh, this is by far our best year in company's history. And more people you talk to, they're traveling, they're getting out, the market's doing great, people are going and seeing all these incredible places around the world, which is fantastic for the industry.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think for our company as well, it's our best year.
Which is really interesting. I know the Fromers on a show a couple weeks ago were talking about this very subject. It was like, wow, what's making this the best year for travel? Because there's a lot of things that you would have thought maybe with fears or whatever, maybe with tourism or with other attitudes going on. But people, I think, are getting finally awakened to this. Like, okay, maybe something happens somewhere, but that's not going to affect our trip. Just like when you went to Egypt. You know, you've been to Egypt now and twice.
Twice.
And you didn't have to worry about, you didn't worry about anything. And it was a wonderful trip. Mm-hmm. In fact, Peter Greenberg says, the best time to travel to a place is when other people are afraid to go there because you have it to yourself.
That's true. And I see Egypt, a lot of the suppliers, including Colette, mm-hmm. are promoting Egypt now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, more and more. And actually, when I was there in the Luxor Museum, I saw this tour group and I kind of looked over and it was a Colette tour.
I
followed him around for a little while. and Tyler said he's going to Egypt.
Oh, yeah. Are you? When are you going?
I'm going in December. I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah. That's a good time to go too, I think.
Yeah, it's not as hot.
It's definitely one of those markets that's emerging as a popular travel destination. It goes back to it. So many people, they build up places in their head as being an unsafe destination. But once you get there, you feel comfortable, you enjoy it, and you're so thankful you went.
Now, this will be your first time, I assume.
It'll be my first time.
I've been there twice. I'm ready to go back again. I am. I love Egypt. I feel like Egypt is home to me, and I love the people. I love the history. I love the vibe. So when you're going, what are you going to be doing on your Egypt trip? And first of all, are there other Colette tours coming up in that people can join in? What would those include in Egypt?
Yeah, we actually, when we get to go, we do a ride-along, essentially, so that way we can see exactly what our travelers would experience. Uh-huh. And so when we go there, we do it part land, part cruise. So we do a cruise along the Nile there, and we're going to go to Luxor, we're going to stay in Cairo, we're going to do the cruise, and then built into that, we have several different experiences that our product team put together to highlight different features of Egypt.
Different futures of Egypt.
Yeah, because a lot of times people think of the pyramids when they think of Egypt.
Yeah.
And there's so many incredible things
so
to see
things
there
more, right.
That if you just went on what you know, you're going to miss out on well over half of all these incredible places. And then you're going to have that moment at the end saying, oh, I wish I would have known about that.
Yeah.
That's what you get when you go on a guided tour, is you have those things planned for you to highlight these regions you had no idea about. But oftentimes I find they're the most amazing parts of your experience.
I totally, totally agree. And what people are finding in Egypt is there's more and more discoveries happening all the time. I think the museum's supposed to be open soon, right?
It is, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited.
Yeah, they spent a fortune building this new museum close to the pyramids, I think, right, kind of overlooking mm-hmm. the pyramids, right?
It's huge. We saw it. It's huge.
Well, because the old museum, did you ever go to the mm-hmm. old museum?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so overcrowded and dusty and not lit properly, and you'd have these amazing gems and, incredible finds of what you'd see there, but you couldn't see it well, and it was very ancient and dusty and old, and so it was time, and they knew it. Tourism is was been so down in Egypt, but I'm glad to see that now it's starting to come back and that you recognize that this is a great place to go.
Yeah, I think we actually have about 15 to 20 departures per year now for that destination.
Do you really that
yeah.
much?
Yeah, mm-hmm. most of our tours, actually, of the 170, on average, we have about 30 departures per year. So we have a lot of variety on selections for their dates, and Egypt, it's been growing so much and been selling out that we have about,
wow.
I want to say it's about 18 of them going for next year.
And what's mm-hmm. the average length of the trip to Egypt?
12 days.
That's good. 12 yeah. days is good. Isn't that close to what you were doing? About
yeah,
two
we
weeks?
Did yeah. about 14 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's about half cruise, half land, and 0 one-night stays on the entire program. So
wonderful.
Definitely more leisurely pace, so that way you can enjoy each place.
Mm-hmm. I think it's wonderful. Now, when you do groups like this, what size groups do you try to keep it to? Because, you know, that's another thing we were saying.
Sure.
You don't want to be overcrowded. So what size of group do you guarantee that won't go over?
So the max on any particular departure is 38 to 44.
Mm-hmm.
They typically have an average of about 34 to 35 mm-hmm. passengers.
That's good. That's manageable.
Yep. And then we also have a special group line that we just came out with and revamped going into 2019. That's our explorations programs, which are 19 maximum passengers.
Okay, I was just going to ask you, because this is the new thing. Everyone wants to go on an adventure. They want to take pictures. They want to post them. They want to say they went to these hot spots. To the point where now it's like, I wonder if Galapagos has already been there, done that, you know. But everyone's really trying to, and you're seeing more cruises going to the Galapagos mm-hmm. and everything, you know. So this is like the thing that a lot of younger people, like you, enjoy doing things that are more adventuresome, right?
Yeah, it's definitely more about the experience than the destination. So when you look at our exploration programs, they're all about authenticity and exclusivity. So trying to get you off the beaten path, more hands-on experiences, and really showcasing these regions through the experience aspect, because we find that more people want that opposed to just being able to say they saw the iconic sites. They want those things that others haven't done. They want
right.
the unique experiences, and that's what you get on those explorations.
Bragging rights.
Exactly.
So tell me, what are some of the places that you consider the adventure and kind of the up-and-coming places people really want to go to?
Yeah, we've actually made that product line even fit places like the Italy and Ireland, doing things like staying on the Aran Islands in Ireland, where most people just take the ferry out, see it mm-hmm. for a couple of hours and go back. We
yeah.
stay on the island that night
has
a 200 population on the island.
A Northern Ireland on the west coast?
It's in the Aran Islands.
Is that the west coast?
It's on the west, yeah.
Uh-huh.
When we go to Italy, we go to a Tuscan family's home. They invite you in,
right.
pour you a glass of wine, and teach you how to create their family recipes right there in their kitchen. So when we go to those kind of places, we add that unique experience. Some of those other places, though, that are off the beaten path, Finland is doing very well for the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
Iceland as well, to go along with that. You mentioned Machu Picchu and the Galapagos. And then, and one of my favorite ones, actually, that we just came out with is our Switzerland's Hidden Treasures.
Oh, that sounds great.
10-day program through the Swiss Alps, all by first-class Swiss rail. No motor coaches on the entire thing. It's one of the most unique programs we have.
And the Swiss train lines do run on time, like clockwork.
It's one of the few places you could do a tour around a train and actually have it work.
Yeah. I went, when I was there, I went on that one that does the high Alp one that goes on... What's it called? The kind of train that goes on the little...
The cog railways.
Yeah.
Cog. There's a famous clog one that takes you way up into the Alps.
Yep.
And it's fun. I went on that, and it was nice. Very, very picturesque. And you can see a lot, because those move slow. It's not like taking a bullet train. So, I mean, you can take pictures. I took a lot of pictures out the window, you know, just looking around.
Yeah, they're called the scenic trains for a reason. They actually slow down at certain points when you have those iconic photos to take. And then on that program, you're able to get into some of these smaller towns that you otherwise would have missed out on if you just stuck with the main places in Switzerland, which is really nice. Going and doing a chocolate bar making class and doing an absinthe ice cream making class and getting to meet several families for meals.
I like both of those things. That's very good. You got me on both of
those. It's all about the food.
Yes. Oh, my God. And Switzerland's gorgeous. It is.
It's one of the more beautiful countries. It almost looks like it's straight out of a picture book.
I love Lucerne. I went to Zurich and stayed in Zurich at a beautiful hotel. I think it was the Stork right there on the river. But I went to Lucerne for a day, and I wished I'd spend the night because Lucerne's a gorgeous town as well. But it's all pretty, right? It's all nice in Switzerland.
Everything is amazing. Zermatt is my favorite.
Where's that?
Up and where you're able to see the Matterhorn in the backdrop.
Oh, I didn't make it there. Yeah.
It's unbelievable up in the Alps. And that's one of my favorite things is when you get those settings that you would never have in your day-to-day life. Because for me, travel's all about making your dreams a reality. Yeah. And we've all seen these places millions of times in photos and videos. When you get to see it in person, it's a whole new experience.
So did you want to ask?
I just like what you just said. Travel is all about making your dreams a reality.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
It's a line. Yeah, it's a line my wife and I heard a couple years back, and we've tried to live our relationship by that, going and traveling and seeing these incredible places.
You know, I mean, I think it's in a lot of people's blood, and I haven't been off island now in 6 months, and I am just hungering.
I'm getting itchy too.
Yeah, I mean, it's been too long, right? When was the last trip you had?
May. Well, Egypt. So that was in
I don't feel sorry for you at all. I'm sorry. You just had a love trip.
It seems like a long time.
It's a lifetime trip to Egypt. It's like that was a first class trip.
Last August. It's time for another adventure.
I haven't left since January, and this is the longest it's been in a long time. So I've got to get off island soon. I'm trying to decide where to go. You know, and Kathy's always good. She sends out information. But I'm thinking just like you are, Tyler. I don't want to go and do Italy again, you know, because I've been there. Unless I was going to do something like an unusual trip to Italy at an off-season, or if I was going to go, I mean, I love Egypt, but I would really, really want to go. And I did Portugal, but just for, it was a cruise and it was an overnight thing. I love to do Portugal, but I think I'd love to do Ireland most of all. Are you doing other interesting trips? I mean, right now we know that Asia is also becoming more popular. I mean, certainly because there's more cruises now going to Vietnam and Myanmar, and some of those are starting to unfold as well. Are you finding that people are starting to look at Asia as another place that they want to explore?
It's definitely an emerging market for us. We have two programs that have done very, very well this year with Vietnam and Japan. Mm-hmm. Those two destinations seem to be rising up in Asia for us, and Japan sold out every single day, and Vietnam was right on its way.
Well, you always say that. Kathy would keep saying, what's the most popular place?
Japan.
Japan, right?
Yeah.
There's good airfare there from here. Mm-hmm. It's not a long trip. You can get there, you know, from Honolulu in, what, 6.5, 7 hours, 8 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's something that is interesting because I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Hawaiian culture is totally being embraced with hula and music. So many of our top musicians, I was just talking to Kalani Pea, he was here the other day, and he just got a Grammy in Nohoku, and he's starting to go because our Hawaiian musicians don't make that much money here in Hawaii, but they can go to Japan and make a lot of money. And there's dances now. There's hula and the hula halaus all over. And they are fanatic about the Hawaiian musicians coming. They adore them. Kind of laid back. It's like, yeah. Nice to see you again. He's a good musician, right? There, he says he sells out stadiums and they all wear his favorite color, purple. And they all write him and follow him on Facebook every day. So they have that, you know, adoration there for this Hawaiian culture and this Hawaiian music and dance. So I don't know if that's part of why people travel and are calling you to go to Japan, but you know, there's certainly this Hawaiian-Japan connection that's been forming.
Well, yeah. I mean, the cultural, you know, aspect, of course, and the it's safe, you yes. know, yeah. compared to,
yeah.
you know, everywhere else. It's kind of feels safe, and they're so polite there.
They are so polite.
They yeah. bow to the airplane when they're backing it, you know, pulling it out.
Yeah, they are very
They bow
polite.
To it.
Yeah. And there's all these people that want to go now to some of the interesting places in northern Japan, right? Do you do any that go up about into the
Hokkaido?
The Hokkaido yeah. and some of the lovely.
You just do the.
Yeah, we do more of the traditional routing. I've been hearing a lot more people wanting to go up to the northern part of Japan, mm-hmm. though, after they get that taste of Japan, going mm-hmm. down and seeing the Hakones and the Kyotos and Tokyos. Now they want to go and explore that second time.
Yeah, but I keep hearing people when they go going to B&Bs or
Airbnb.
Yeah, Airbnb, yep. yeah, as well. Because they have lovely little places for that, and some of them have the spas, you know, and that whole Japanese experience as well. It's really interesting to me when I'm seeing people taking off now that how important this trip is to them. Some of them will really do their homework, you know, and read up all about it and find these things, you know. And it's great that they have a place like Colette Travel to take care of driving. In Japan, you do not want to drive.
There's a lot of places you
Italy,
don't want to drive.
Italy, Rome at least. I mean, I've driven through Italy, yeah. but you don't want to drive in Rome, right?
It takes the worry out of travel when you go on a guided tour. It's easy. It's flexible now with the way that we've set it up, having those multiple night stays in these places and adding more choice on the program. So just overall, getting from place to place is so much easier.
It's also easier with luggage, etc.
Bags are handled for you.
Yeah, because if you're trying to do the train thing, oh my God, I've had some nightmare moments trying to switch trains, you know, and you only have, what, 6-7 minutes sometimes mm-hmm. between trains, and you're trying to do your bags and make it to the other track over there, pulling it, running, literally right. running, and then you have to lug your luggage up onto the train and hope there's a big enough space to put it left, you know. And that point, it is nice to have someone taking care of those things for you.
Yeah, it's easy, and that's the biggest thing. You know, you hear all the time about how people think travel is this hard, difficult process to go these places. That's why they procrastinate and put off their trips 2, 3, 4 years. When you go on a guided tour, you don't have to put your running shoes on to get from place to place. You know, it's easy, your bags are handled for you, and you get to enjoy it because that's what you paid for.
Well, talking about Italy, you know, one of my favorite places now is going down to Positano, Ravello, on down the coast, you know, below Naples and heading below Sorrento even. Mm-hmm. Sorrento's lovely. I'm not a big fan of Naples. I've had some bad experiences there with me. But I love when you go down south. Do you do any of the tours in southern Italy?
Yeah, Kathy and I were actually just talking about this. We have 15 different Italy trips.
Wow, yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, we have quite a few, and they go down into Sicily. So we have an all-Sicily program
as well as a
southern Italy and Sicily, which is exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really neat. It does 4 nights in Sicily, and then it works its way up the southern part of Italy, which is definitely more authentic.
Yes.
You know, when you get Rome north, you're going to have more of that touristy feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
When you're south of Rome, the more south you get, the more authentic it gets.
Yeah.
And so if you've only
Although
done...
Although Cyprus in the summer is crazy, right? I mean, some of those are...
Some of those bigger towns yeah. that are more resorty mm-hmm. you know, could feel that way. However, you're going to definitely get some of those smaller, authentic experiences.
Yeah, I agree. And again, on some of those, you have those small little roads. But I've had lovely times down in southern Italy, and I wouldn't mind going back there again. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ravello was gorgeous, and Amalfi, the Amalfi coastline there is lovely. And I went down even further than that and had some good experiences. But I have not been to Sicily, so that would be an interesting one. So that's how long is that trip?
That one is 12 days.
Well, that's enough time. So is 12 days pretty standard, what you try to do?
Most Europe tend to be about 10 to 12 days. Some a little bit shorter, some a little bit longer. But it's going back to that multiple nights. You know, mm-hmm. you're not going to have a 7-day Europe program with us because we don't want you to be rushed from place to place to place. Our goal is for right. you to finish the trip and be able to say, I saw this destination the right way the first time and uh-huh. not feel like you missed out.
Are you finding people are interested again in Greece? There was a time people were nervous about the whole economy mm-hmm. there, and everything was falling apart. And I went there on a cruise around Greece, and I went to some places that I just loved, and I had a great time. And it seemed like some more people, of course, everyone wants Santorini, but I mean, there are other places as well that are lovely on the islands that you can do, and in Greece, and at Corinthia was beautiful. I love that. And I think it's Daia, some other islands. Are you finding some places in Greece interesting to people?
Yeah, we actually have three different Greece programs. One for the faith journey, going in the footsteps of Paul, uh-huh. and our most popular one being Greece and its islands, which is actually one of the more unique programs because it stays on those islands. So you do about a week on the mainland of Greece.
Yeah.
Then we go out to Santorini and Mykonos, and you do 3 to 4 nights on each of those islands.
Oh, that's
as well.
Unusual. That's
I'd
great.
To do that one.
Yeah, that's different because people come in on the cruise ships and then they're
it's
out.
A day. Yeah.
If you've ever done a cruise, you know, you only get about 3 to 4 hours
right.
in port for a lot of places.
Right.
When you stay on the islands, you're getting that full experience. You're getting to see it when all those travelers on the cruises leave.
Which is a whole different experience. Exactly.
It's the same thing you described when you go to Europe in the summer opposed to going in October or November. You're having a quarter of the amount of crowds in all these places, which adds to the overall allure.
But that's a brilliant idea. I love that. I really do. I think that's a great idea. Because
that's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. That is. I mean, I like Mykonos and Santorini, but I mean, I thought Santorini was ruined because there were, I don't know, four cruise lines in when I went. And I did a tour where I went and took a car up to the top. But then you have that thing you can take down, the
funicular?
Yeah. The lines were so long, literally standing in line and getting worried that I was going to miss my ship. The lines, I think I stood in line for an hour and a half to mm-hmm. get down because it was summertime, right? And if you could avoid that, it would be a whole different experience.
It's a whole different experience walking around after dinner mm-hmm. opposed to walking around after lunch.
Have you done
it's
that?
Like Venice.
It's a crazy whole different experience.
Yeah, absolutely agree on that. That's wonderful. So let's talk about prices because you do a quality trip. Mm-hmm. You keep the size limited. You stay in nice hotels. You do very nice tours with small groups. Mm-hmm. What price range, where do you fall in price range compared to other tours?
The thing we're known for is being the best value tour operator in the 4-star category, and it's because we're more inclusive. When you go on a tour with us, you're not going to have all those extra optional tours and all these extra fees that you have to pay for because we're so inclusive. So when you look at our programs, we may be $5 to $10 more per day in the beginning, but when you look at your bank account when you return, it's going to have saved you about $25 to $30 per day by the time you return because you're not going to be buying all those extra expenses.
Mm-hmm. On top of that, you do include air on some of these, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you work with agents like Kathy, you're able to do air-inclusive bookings with us. And so that way you have everything taken care of for you from the time you leave till the time you get back, transfers, flights, everything.
Which, of course, Kathy and I always go through this because sometimes air-inclusive from Maui is a little challenging sometimes because mm-hmm. a lot of people, even cruise lines especially, don't count from Maui, you know. They
right.
will do
they
towns. They start from San Francisco or you start from the West
Honolulu.
Coast or Honolulu. Mm-hmm. But Maui, mm-hmm. you know, and then that can add on an extra $500 or something depending on mm-hmm. how you're doing it. At least, you know, $200 at least for the air alone, you know,
right.
to get on there. So how does that work, Kathy? How do you work that out when someone buys a Colette Travel trip and they want to leave from Maui and they want the air included?
Well, of course, we contact Colette and then we price it with them and then kind of see what that is. I'll price it myself to see, you know, which one's a better, you know, price on that. And then we'll just go from there.
And mm-hmm. and how do we know which airlines? Is there extra charges like they do? For the cruise lines, if you want to pick your airlines, or how does that work?
We actually have contracts with all the major U.S. airways.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. So I'm not as familiar with the major airlines out of Maui. However, I do know that Delta and United are popular out of Honolulu.
Yes.
We have contracts with both of them. And I also know that we get pretty good contracts out of Maui with the airlines we use.
Oh, and last week we were talking about it. We checked and there's no limited flights on United. It may have just been that week, but there's there's plenty of flights leaving out of Maui on United.
Oh, yeah. Like the one that I talked to.
I'll
look at that.
Okay, cause because John checked because he was like, wow, really? Is that? And there were lots and lots of flights out, so I don't know what the story. He looked during midweek, too, so I don't know if they changed their mind or something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, well, I'm a United person, although I'm a reluctant. I'm a reluctant United person. I liked United before, but you know, you get into the miles thing, right? And then it's like, okay, maybe there's a chance of an upgrade somewhere, not across the ocean going from New York or the East Coast to most places. But do you do, I know Iceland and some of these areas are becoming very, very popular again. Speaking of that, because the airfare on some of these trips going to Iceland are amazing, and some are even offering you a night, right, to stay in Iceland. Are you finding people more interested as more and more people go there?
Iceland is the hottest destination we have in terms of growth this year.
Yeah. Really?
Starting in September, we have a departure going out almost daily to Iceland.
My gosh.
Wow. Between the flights, between the Northern Lights, between all the movies and TV shows that have been using it for their setting, Iceland has just been put on the map, and it's been put on the map in a big way.
That's amazing. That's a lot. I still thought it was kind of exotic and
not anymore.
Not anymore.
No. A lot of the cruise lines are putting it on their itinerary too. Are. Yeah,
absolutely. But isn't Iceland also very expensive?
It's more expensive than a lot of other European countries. However, I've personally been there and it's so worth it. Iceland itself is one of the most beautiful scenic destinations in the world.
What did you like about it?
I mean, it has 10,000 waterfalls. It has dozens of volcanoes. 10% of the country itself is a glacier. And the scenery is so dramatic. And that's why so many movies have been filmed there, because you could drive 30 to 40 minutes and it'll look like a different world, let alone a different spot in a country.
Probably limited season when you want to go, right?
Actually, Iceland's become almost a year-round destination. So you go April through September is their peak season. Yeah, you're going to get more daylight. So if you're more adventurous, you can use that time to go and explore. Then October through March is for the Northern Lights.
So people are going just because they want to see the Northern Lights.
Yeah, the Northern Lights actually is more popular for us now than the Land of Fire and Ice because of the Aurora Borealis.
Wow, isn't that something? Again, that you want a picture and show something and be somewhere where other people haven't been and done. So that's part of it. And it is pretty spectacular.
It makes for great photos, too.
Have you taken that? Have you seen the Northern Lights?
I went in June, so there were 21 hours of daylight. So hard to see the Northern Lights at that time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and what about the airlines that are the other airlines that are interesting? And some of them are very low cost. I just even heard today because someone was offering something in Mallorca. I love Mallorca. And someone said that you can take one of the airlines. I forget, is it Norway? What's the other cheap airline besides Icelandic Air? Norway? No.
Norwegian.
I think there's a Norwegian flight right from the East Coast, New York, into Mallorca direct, which is pretty amazing. And Mallorca is a beautiful place. It's a lovely place. And, of course, Spain, we haven't mentioned Spain. Spain's another one that's been over-touristed, right? It's getting overcrowded in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And some. I don't think as many people in some of the areas, but Barcelona has definitely become overcrowded.
It's those big-name cities, Barcelona,
and
Madrid.
And the cruise ships.
Yeah. You know, a lot of these big cities, that's where you go when you aren't as familiar with these countries. That's where you go on a lot of cruises. It's all about the off-the-beaten-path locations, those cities that are more authentic, because that's what you want to find when you're going to these places. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want the Americanized Spain. You want the actual Spain when you travel.
That's true. Do you do good trips to Spain?
I believe we're up to about 7 different programs to Spain now. So quite a bit of variety, from the small group line to programs that only have 2 total hotels for the entire 10-day package.
Are more people, I've been seeing more tourism about Canada and doing things, you know, in places that are just beautiful, like Montreal, Quebec, and other places. And I'm starting to see that in cruise lines more, which sounds really to me very fascinating, because I've been to Banff and I've been to, you know, Lake Louise there, and I've been to Jasper, but I haven't spent time on the East Coast, and I haven't been to Quebec and Montreal, and there are more shows I've seen about it. It looks really interesting.
Yeah, when you get up to that Montreal, Quebec area, it's more of the French Canada. Uh-huh. So you're going to have that French influence there. Then you also have Ottawa, you have Toronto, you have the Niagara Falls side in Canada. And there's just so much to offer up in that Eastern Canada area, especially when you go in the fall, you're going to get that fall colors.
Exactly. Yeah, beautiful. And that's why I'm seeing some of the cruise lines going from there to New York in, mm-hmm. in September, October. You're starting to see some of those. That look really interesting. Okay, let's bring up Cuba. I wanted to go to Cuba. And two or three times, I almost was like, I got to go to Cuba. And then, of course, things changed with Trump and the administration saying, well, okay. And it became difficult again. And there were a lot of still cruise lines. I'm seeing the cruise lines still doing it, which is a good way to go. But is there still interest? Because they were setting it all up, and then it kind of, the bottom fell out, right?
Yeah, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, not letting what you hear in the news discourage you from going to the places you want to go to. Cuba has so much to offer. We actually have two different trips there that both do very, very well, with the most popular one being our Spotlight on Havana. You unpack once for 5 nights, staying at the Iberostar, which is about a 4.5-star review from about 7,000 reviews. So anybody that thinks that the quality isn't there in Cuba definitely is. And then you're able to see really what Cuba is known for by actually staying in the country and not spreading it around and only seeing it for a few hours each day.
So you get to go to the old town and see the I've heard it's just great music. I've heard there's music at lunch, there's music in the afternoon, there's music at night, it's music, and pretty friendly people, right?
Music, food, people, experiences. You know, one of the things that's nice is we have a people-to-people license. That's how we're able to offer Cuba. And so you don't just go and experience these places. You meet the people behind the scenes at each of them. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going and you're going to visit a performing arts school and meet the children. You go to a orchestra performance and then you meet the actual performers afterwards.
I love that.
You do a salsa class and you meet the salsa teachers. One of my favorite experiences, for your farewell dinner, you have all those beautiful antique cars lined up on the street. You walk outside and you get to choose which one you want to drive to dinner in.
I love that.
How you're escorted there.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
There's so
have
many
you been?
Incredible things.
Have you been to Cuba?
Cuba is definitely one of those places, you know, that you should go to. And if you haven't, it should be at the top of your bucket list, because it's one of those places that has so much incredible history and culture to offer.
Is it true that Cuba can be, I know, I'm just looking based on what I see the cruise lines doing, but is Cuba less expensive than some of the other places you might go?
It's not less expensive just because of the regulations that are put on there, but that's part of why you should want to go to Cuba now, is because, you know, Cuba may not be open for tourism in 5 years, 10 years, and so you have this window now to go and see one of these places that was forbidden, prohibited from traveling to for so many years, that everybody should want to go and experience that and be able to check it off their list.
I agree. When you go to areas like that have been having problems, like South America, you know, Venezuela and some of these places, we see some of these things in the news, Nicaragua, etc. In Brazil, has been getting a little bad press as well. But a lot of people, and I know cruise lines are going too. I mean, are you seeing people getting cautious about going to South America, or is that still a place they want to go to?
It, you know, it really comes down to if people build it up in their mind. And I had an agent actually a couple months back that went down to Brazil, and their family had been messaging them asking if they were okay. They'd seen these things on TV. And the agent shared with me afterwards, when they got back, she said, I don't know what you were talking about. I had no idea that it even took place. And you hear about that so often in travel.
Many different countries.
Yes,
you know,
it's
true.
The media builds it up into something that, you know, almost discourages travelers from going to these incredible places. But then once you get there, you realize that there's nothing to worry about and you can enjoy it for everything it's known for.
And it probably safest, because, I mean, I don't know if I would want to go as an independent traveler to some of these places, especially if I was going to go by myself alone, you know, which it everyone does as a woman now. But I would be feeling safer in a trip like that to go with a group, you know, like a trip like Colette down to South America, where you have that group protection and you know where to go. You don't go down the wrong areas, right? You end up in the right section.
That's exactly it. You also have our tour managers with you the entire time. So our tour managers with you from the time you arrive till the time you depart, so that way you can have somebody that you feel more comfortable with.
Well, we have about 5 minutes left, and I haven't even brought up China. I've been to China twice. It's a long, you need to give yourself more time in China. It's a big country. And I tell you, since when I was there ages ago, but I look at pictures of Beijing now. I went there before the car thing happened, and now I look at the smog and awful air quality in Beijing. I mean, I'd like to go back to China, but I would like to go to Hangzhou and down other places. I don't even want to go to Beijing, except maybe to land at the airport and get out. Singapore, I'd still be interested in seeing. And there's some lovely areas. Are you doing China?
Yeah, we have one program that does China as well, and it's also one of those part cruise, part land packages. So staying 3 to 4 nights in each of those cities, plus doing the Yangtze River.
Okay. Yangtze River is very interesting. I was on the cruise down the Yangtze River. I remember looking, and this was a long time ago, going down the Yangtze River, and you'd hear people yell, floater! You know what I'm saying. A floater is a body. Some of the people just throw their bodies in the river, and you see these bodies floating down the river. It's like, okay. You know, a little different than you would see on a regular cruise line or something. But I'm glad I've been to China. And I think China is fascinating in the architecture and the history. Talk about history. So in the last few minutes, what would you like to talk about, Kathy? Because I'm sure I skipped some things.
Well, I just wanted to, Colette's got some specials for the fall here. So some really great deals.
Like and what?
Well, we have, this is per person, a couple of things that caught my eye. There's the Sunny Portugal for $14.49 per person.
That's a great price.
Mm-hmm. Land only.
10 days, mm-hmm. about $140 a day.
That's mm-hmm. amazing.
They're on specific dates. So
what part of, were you going in Portugal?
On that one, it does the mainland. So you're doing Lisbon, Cascais, Obidos, Fatima. You're going over to Alentejo, which is like the wine region, one of the wine regions of Portugal. And then you're also going down to the Algarve region, which is a beautiful coastal part down in the south.
That's a great price.
Yeah.
Wow. So all you have to do is get your airfare over there, and then you're set.
Then you're good to go.
Yep.
So there's quite a few
what else?
Options here. Italy's Treasures. I think that's the one we talked about earlier, right?
Which one? That's a small group Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that go again? That's Sicily in south or where?
That one's up in the northern part of Italy.
Lake Como, because that's where I wanted to go.
Oh, I love Como. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
The Italian Riviera.
Tell me about that one.
Venice, going into Tuscany a little bit. So it's touching on really everything Tuscany north, and it's in that small group setting of 19 maximum passengers.
Oh, I love that. When's that happening?
November 4th, and that's $33.99 per person. How many days was that one?
That one's 12 days, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that Colette does are these little city stays. So
like what?
If you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the city stays were put together because one of the main reasons why people do cruises is to unpack once.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want to give them that experience in all these incredible cities around the world. So 5 nights in London, 5 nights in Paris, 4 nights in New York,
yes.
D.C., Barcelona. And so you have these iconic cities, one hotel with all the same perks of a guided tour.
Mm-hmm.
I like
that. So you could use those as a pre and a post because, as you know, if you do the pre and the post with cruise lines, they're really expensive.
You think they're okay in price and you realize that's per person.
Yes.
So you end up doubling the cost thinking, oh, well, I can do $2,000 or $1,500. Mm-hmm. No, it's $3,000 for 2 days, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they get on these, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, you get the transfers to your ship, but
the seamless experience.
Yeah.
As they like to say.
As they like to say, but they're not a good deal.
No, they're not.
They're, even though they've seen. So that's a nice option to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were designed also to go back to back. So if you want to go do one of those and maybe even do an earlier tour to make it a double pre program, you're able to do so.
London, well, Paris.
Yep, you could do a London or Paris, and then you could do a cruise and really combine and take advantage of your airfare while you're over there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. That's nice. Mm-hmm. So you've put all these different pieces together for people, so Kathy's job is a little easier.
Yes.
So in the last minute here, I want to tell people you can contact Kathy DeCushy about any of these wonderful Colette travel experiences that are really top flight. And they're great. And you can call 244-1414. That's 244-1414. Or you can go to the website, CaptivatingJourneys.com.
That's right.
CaptivatingJourneys.com. And you actually will make sure they get all the links. And your website's very good, too, so you, people can get connected through you and check out the different programs that are available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I really am. We have about a minute left, but I just want to say, Tyler.
See me in Tyler. Can you see me in Tyler?
I can see you. I can see you. You look beautiful.
All right.
Yeah, you did the reversal. Well, you can just turn it towards facing you as well.
Oh, but yeah, I can.
Yes, you can. You can reverse that.
Let's
so
try
you
that.
Can. Yeah, there you go.
There's me and Tyler.
Okay. All right. So anyway, it's really great to meet you. I know we've talked to you and had a lot of interesting things. I want to do the castles in Ireland. That's the one that is on my list to do next. That's just because I love Ireland and I want to do that. And I love the castles. I do. I love castles. So that's one, and maybe one down in south, going down southern Italy, because that's great. But you have a lot of great trips, and I want to thank you, and I want to wish happy anniversary, 100 years. You're doing something right if you can say you've been around for 100 years. And it's wonderful that you're doing what you're doing with Colette Travel. So contact Kathy Takushi. And I want to thank everyone for listening. You can go to Amazon.com and get the Travel Angel Handbook. It's really handy and out on audiobook now as well. Aloha.